Good morning, and welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we are glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have here on the program, once again, Sandy Mason. She is a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County, and once a month, on a Tuesday, she is here, and we talk about things that grow in the home landscape. If you have questions, maybe you have a problem you need to solve, or you are starting to think about what you're going to do in your yard and your garden this spring, you can call in and Sandy will do her best to help you out, whether it's a problem or you need a suggestion for a plant or anything else that has to do with the home landscape. And indoor questions are welcome too. If you have house plant issues, we can try to help there. And in all of that, certainly welcome. 333-9455, the number here in Champaign-Urbana, and toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. Any point here you have questions, you give us a call. Well, glad to have you here once again.
Hey, good morning. It's always a good time to be here.
Yeah?
Well, it's always a good time to be here. But I mean, in the spring, you know, everybody's all excited.
Well, and it looks like here, at least over the next couple of days, we should have some fairly mild weather. We're going to get a little bump up in the temperature. So people are going to start thinking, I'm sure, about wanting to be out there and doing things. We're still more than a month away from the average date of last frost. So we could still have some nippy weather. But at least this starts to get you in the mood thinking, well, yes, it's going to be spring. One of these days it's going to be warm. We're going to be out there digging around and planting things and cutting the grass and doing all those other stuff.
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular? Now, if we do get into some nice days, fairly warm days, and people have the time and they can be outside, at this time of the year, are there particular things that you'd say, okay, here's where you, if you have the time and you can go out, here's where I would suggest you put your energy?
Pruning.
Okay.
You know, obviously all the cleanup kinds of stuff that we do this time of year, but any kind of pruning, you know, this is really the time, you know, before they get the leaves on, really sort of look over the trees, especially if you have some younger trees maybe and you're really trying to shape them and really trying to make sure that they have good sturdy structure. This is the time to go out there and sort of look at those and evaluate those. And even on some of the shrubs. Now, of course, some of the shrubs that are early bloomers, things like lilacs and forsythia and things that bloom, say, before mid-June, generally we wait until after they bloom, because you don't want to, because if you trim them now, then you're going to cut off all the flower buds. Mm-hmm. You're not going to kill them, but you're going to cut off the flower buds. So generally, for anything that blooms before June 15th, we generally think about waiting till after they bloom to prune those. But anything else, you know, some of the pink spireas, potentillas, there's lots of things that could be pruned now. So get out those pruners and go for it.
All right. We have somebody here with a question on our toll-free line, line 4. Let's go right there.
Good morning.
Hi.
It feels like spring.
Doesn't it?
It's almost making me want to expand my garden into the lawn that's kind of around it. And I'm wondering, is it too late to put down your newspapers, or what's the simplest way I can do this without needing a lot of strength to gain more space?
Roundup.
I knew he was going to say that.
Well, I've got a well, and I don't necessarily want to do anything in that area.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, herbicides are always people's choice on how what route they want to go. Generally, one of the things about Roundup or any of the glyphosate type herbicides, these are non-selective, so they kill anything green you spray them on. Probably the only thing that's, or I shouldn't say only thing, but one of the things that's good about them is that they're bound up very quickly in organic matter, so they're it's not an herbicide that's going to move around, like certainly we've had problems with other herbicides. So I will tell you that there is something about that. And that would be one of the faster ways. And the one thing with Roundup, of course, is that it doesn't work unless the plant is actively growing, so you have to wait for things to green up. So if you wanted to go that route, and it is in the sense that it's nice that it would kill stuff off and you don't have to do that physical labor necessarily to go ahead and dig it up. The newspaper method, you could try that. You're just going to expand the bed?
Yes.
Okay, so you have an existing bed and you just want to expand it some. Wow. You could try the newspaper method. You'd really have to put on a lot of mulch to make sure it doesn't start blowing. And that would kill it off. Are you going to actually plant right into it, or you just want to expand the bed so it just looks better?
No, I would like to plant more stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the trouble is with the newspaper method, you have to wait, and I would say at least a couple months, to really make sure that the stuff's dead.
Okay.
So you could certainly do that now and then plant maybe later on in the summer, or, you know, give it some time and then keep checking to see if the grass is dead by then. Yeah, it's a little hard sometimes.
Okay, thanks.
Timing-wise.
Could you just go out and right now just go ahead and till it up? and keep at that, or is stuff that's in there going to continue to want to grow back even though you're doing that?
The trouble is with it, so much, like if you were just tilling the sod or whatever, if you could, it tends to just stay. You have to pick the pieces of sod out because it will go ahead and just root. So you really have to, and in some respects, I suppose you could sort of chew it off, and it might be easier than trying to just de-sod it, you know, taking the sod off by, with a spade, which is you know, kind of tough work. That would be one way to do it, but you just can't, on any of that perennial kind of, especially if you have a perennial weed, creeping Charlie, bindweed, all that kind of stuff, it's just going to re-root. Yeah. So you have to think of some ways to kill it off first.
Okay. So, Sandy Mason is our guest. If you have questions about lawn and garden care, give us a call at 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. Something that I've done, I haven't done this in a while, but if you're itching to have a little bit of a spring inside, it is possible to go out and clip branches off of spring flowering things, like I know I've done it with forsythia. You can do it with redbud. I'm sure that there are other things that you can do. You can clip a branch off and you can force them inside if you take it and fray the end a little bit and put it in water and put it in a place that's going to be where it's not going to get a lot of sun. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a basement, a cool basement,
right,
that's good.
Right.
And if you just leave it there, it'll flower out for you. And I've just thought that was the coolest thing. And you can have a little bit of forsythia there.
And David, this just goes to show, I wrote in Patterns Magazine, you know, we've been doing this for 15 years, and I wrote in Patterns Magazine that I thought you could do the program all by yourself.
No,
and you're so smart. You know all these things. But actually, that's a really good, I mean, you know, that is a good thing. Even if you're just out there pruning, as I mentioned, you're out there pruning, just bring some of those in. And usually you can tell the flower buds because usually they're bigger than the leaf buds. So usually you can tell which ones have flower buds on them. But you could even do it with crab apples, you know, if you're doing a little pruning and a crab apple, bring them in. So that's a good suggestion.
Yeah. So if you don't mind, if you're going to take it off anyway, or maybe there's a branch a little bit here and there that you don't mind cutting off, that is really a cool thing. And it's a way of getting a little early spring in the house there, along with those other kinds of, obviously they're bulbs and things that are ready for forcing that you can do that with.
But these are free.
Yeah. another point in their favor, they're free. Let's talk next with somebody in Champaign and line number one. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, raspberries and strawberries. Raspberry bushes have not had any berries on them for about 3 years now. Last summer we had some kind of orange leaves on the raspberry bushes. Yeah. I'm wondering if they have a virus. When we've cut them down in the fall. We've cut them down in the spring, and still no raspberries.
Do you know what kind they are?
They're just wild ones that were here when I moved in.
Oh. Yeah, they do get a rust disease that sometimes can be a real problem. And the trouble is a lot of those, well, several of those raspberry type diseases actually overwinter on the canes. And so sometimes it's really tough to get rid of it without using a fungicide. So I'm not sure what to tell you on that. If they've been there for 3 years and you know they produced before.
Oh, they were wonderful.
Yeah. Last year was not a very good raspberry year. I will tell you that because of that really, really late frost we had. A lot of things really got kicked back.
We had a lot of berries last year, and then, boing, you know, July 4th, you can pick them. They were all dried up. I don't know what happened to them. They disappeared.
I think you're getting probably a disease issue there, because it will cause some of those to shrivel up. And
can
it actually
cut them down this year and spray the roots or...
Yeah, I think probably what I would do is you could go ahead and cut and just try to clean up the patch as best you can. And I'm just looking here to see what kind of fungicide you might go ahead and use on those. You could go ahead and use like a lime sulfur spray.
Okay.
And that actually takes care of a lot of the things like anthracnose and a few other things as well.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
So I would try that and just try to clean it up as best you can and then go from there.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Okay,
and then, she had a strawberry question, but I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, I just can't get any strawberries. I have planted plants, and I get only a few blooms. I don't know what the problem is.
They're getting plenty of sun.
I'm getting plants, beautiful green leaves, and just a few blooms.
Okay.
And then like three or four strawberries for probably 40 plants, so...
Okay. And are they well irrigated? Because sometimes that's an issue.
Yeah, it doesn't. I think they're in the shade. Is that a problem?
Yes. They need to have full sun.
Full sun all the time.
Well, they need at least, I would say, at least 8 hours.
Okay.
So they need at least 8 hours of sun. There certainly are some, again, some disease issues, but you probably would notice some of that even on the foliage. But if so, you're getting healthy plants. And then also, if it gets really dry when they're actually trying to produce the fruit, sometimes that's an issue. And also, if they get really hit with that cold, you know, those flowers are put on really early. So okay. If we have a late cold, and especially again last year, we had that late freeze really in April, so it was really tough on a lot of plants, and certainly would have hurt some of the strawberries okay. if they weren't covered.
All right, I'll see
good
about
luck.
Getting some more sun in there. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's go on and talk with another person, also in Champaign, line two. Hello.
Hi, mm-hmm. I'm calling because I've got the only patch of land I've got here. This apartment I'm living at now is full shade. So I'm wondering if there's any hope for this little patch of land that I could possibly plant anything, or is it a lost cause?
Oh, no. So you're wanting ornamental type of things, or?
Yeah, I'd like flowers, wildflowers if possible. If possible, also maybe some vegetables or fruits, but I kind of gave up on that because, like mm-hmm. I said, it is full shade.
Yeah, vegetables and fruits are really hard. Probably the only thing that might do okay, even in shadier environments, would be some of the leafy crops. So mm-hmm. things like lettuce and some of those, and you know, and spinach, and some of those actually do okay with some shade. So you might even try a few of those if you want to, and they're not terribly expensive for seeds. But there's certainly a lot of other plants that do well in shadier environments. And, you know, obviously the people often think of hostas, and there's a gazillion different types of hostas out there that, you know, from big to little to you name it. Now, is this dry shade or wet shade, or do you know?
Well, actually, to describe it better, half of it is kind of under a wooden stairway, so I'm afraid there might be a lot of watershed, too, for when it rains. So it's very unideal for planting things, mm-hmm. and I'm just, right now, it's just sort of thawed, not even grass is growing under it.
Yeah, you might try some hostas. I mean, a lot of times, you know, they're pretty tough once they get going and once they get established. They're really pretty tough. So you might try a few hostas in there. Boy, underneath that shadier spot, it's going to be a little bit harder. You could certainly try some of the ground cover type plants if you're just trying to sort of cover the area, things like vinca and some of those. You might try that just to sort of cover the area. But I would think, and then even a lot of the woodland plants, you know, that's what they grow in, obviously. And so there's all kinds of things like trillium and a lot of those. Those are just spring things that come up, do their thing, and then they're on their merry way, and you don't see them through the summer, but they're perennial.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot. I'll give it a try.
So don't give up.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
On to another caller here. This is Urbana, and line number one. Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm. I have two questions. One is about burning bushes. I have two of them in my backyard, one in a bright sunny spot and another one in a sheltered spot. They grow well, but they're getting sort of leggy, and in the fall I think about cutting them back, and I'm advised to wait until spring, and I never know how long to wait in the spring before cutting them back.
Now
is a good time. Oh, good.
Well, maybe not exactly now, but you can wait till after the show. So now, you could certainly do it now. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how much you want to take these back.
I really want to take them well back because they really are. They're about 8 feet tall or taller, and they're bare about halfway up. And so I was thinking about bringing them down to about a foot tall and letting them grow up from there.
Yeah, I'm not sure on burning bush how well they respond to that severe of pruning.
Oh, okay.
You can certainly take them down a couple feet, not a problem. What you might want to do is maybe just do it over time, you know, take a few feet off now, and then next year take a few more feet off and kind of do it more of a gradual thing.
Okay.
I'm just a little, on some of those really old guys, it seems like they don't leaf out as well on really severe cuts.
Yeah, these have been around. They were here when I came about 25 years ago.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So I think I would do gradually, take a few feet off now. And, you know, if you can cut it back to sort of keep some sort of natural shape to it, just cut it back to the next stem that's coming out or some way try to do it so it looks a little bit more natural. And then the next year you can take a few more feet off. And then in a couple years you'll have it probably down to where you want it.
Okay. The other question I have is about, I think the plant is called vinca. It's kind of a viney plant mm-hmm. that has blue flowers in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
That's planted as ground cover in the front in a shady area and was doing really well for maybe 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years. in the last year or so, it started to die out in big patches. And now I have this area about 6 feet in diameter that has no ground cover. And because it looks bare, mail carriers and newspaper carriers and so forth are using it as a walking path. And I hope to avoid that. But I've tried picking up clumps of vinca and transplanting it to that area, and it simply doesn't take anymore.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is that a natural thing that this ground cover does, or should I be looking to replace it with something else?
Yeah, the problem is with vinca, it will get actually a stem rot, root rot disease, and it seems to get bad once they really get going. As in, the plant really gets big and really starts going. So, unfortunately, that's probably what's going on. And it tends to especially die out in certain spots like that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how, you know, whether you want to think about using a fungicide, but what I, you know, sometimes that actually will work out just fine. And then what you can do is then, you know, plant it back into it like you were talking before. So, I don't know, you know, whether you want to go that route or not, but that would certainly be one thing that you could use. Probably would be something like, there's a couple of different products out there that you might find. And I'm just looking here to see which ones exactly. I don't memorize all of these. But there is one called PCNB, and it stands for this really, really long name.
That's all right.
But it's a fungicide.
Okay.
And I would just look for, I think High Yield is one of the brands that carries that. So you'd have to think about that, and that would be something you'd do now. You know, and as they start to expand. So it just depends on whether you want to go that route or not. But more than likely, that's what's going on. You could plant something in there, and it's pretty specific to vinca, so you'd probably be all right with other things if that's what's happening. But usually you can tell because the leaves will turn kind of brownish, and they kind of stay on the stem and then kind of just hang there.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell sometimes when they have these diseases.
Well, this is just dying out, period. Yeah. There's just nothing there. I mean, the dead stems are there, winding around.
Right.
And I tried putting a couple of hostas in that area, and they survived, but not beautifully.
Is it real dry or something that's going
to serve? It tends to be dry, and I end up doing a fair amount of watering, which I'd like to avoid doing, of course. But, you know, got to keep plants going.
Right. Is there a way to sort of work up the soil in certain areas and make sure when you plant your hostas that they have a pretty wide girth there to really grow?
Oh, yes, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, so you may want to try those things. And I'd really wonder if it, you know, is it getting too wet certain times and then too dry? And if it's just some of those things that maybe has changed over time? Or?
I don't think it gets too wet. I really don't. Yeah, because I usually wait until I feel like I'm gasping. I'm sure they are, too. I need to put some water out there.
They tell us, don't they?
Yeah,
they tell us. So I would really try maybe working up some of those areas and really getting a lot of those roots and stuff out of there and see if that doesn't help in certain spots, at least, because I realize it's quite a job to do the whole thing. But.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Sure.
Our guest this morning in this hour of Focus 580, Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with Extension, U of I Extension in Champaign County. Once a month on a Tuesday, she's here, and we talk about lawn and garden care, things that grow in the home landscape. If you have questions, give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. At what point do you recommend that if people are going to fertilize their lawns when they do the first time? Are we getting close?
Yeah, I know. Everybody really wants to do it really early, but generally we recommend to actually wait until May, which I know seems really late for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
But really, they found that it really helped, you know, certainly helps the grass to grow and all those kinds of things, but that maybe there's some less leaf disease problems if you don't fertilize when it's first coming out, like it often does in April. And then the feeling is then you'd actually do an application in November or so, and that's really what helps it to green up in the spring. So the schedule is a little bit different than maybe what people traditionally think of when it comes to fertilizing for those. So we usually we go the kind of the holiday method. If you're going to fertilize four times, I have to remember everything. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving.
Okay. And that's just now, though, I'm thinking if you're waiting to do something until Mother's Day, the weeds are already going. Now, if you're going to do try to do something about weeds, though, you're going to want to do that
right
sooner or earlier.
Right. And that's why a lot of times, when, especially if people do the weed and feed, you know, we have a combination product, you kind of, you know, it's that happy medium
somewhere in between.
Because you're right, you really would like to get those to those weeds before they get going. And most of them are going certainly by April, you know, 1st of April or so. So those weed and feed type products, we certainly would probably put those on early if the weed, whatever you have, is really up and going and doing its thing. So you kind of, you might fertilize earlier if you do have some weed issues. And they realize, you know, people don't, you don't have to fertilize. You certainly don't have to weed. You know, it's all, you know, it's up to people on what they expect out of their lawn.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's talk with somebody here on a cell phone, line number two. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm really allowed to ask this question. I'm disabled, and I've replaced my lawn with gravel, and I want to keep everything from growing.
Sure.
So what's my best way to keep things from growing up through the gravel? I put black plastic down, and I keep the gravel down, and I keep, you know, but I have sprayed with Roundup for the most part, but I'm wondering if there's any other more better way to do that.
Right. There actually are a couple products out there that are, they're almost sort of considered soil sterilants of sorts, in the sense that they don't let things grow up for a long period of time. And it's often used around fence rows or, as you say, in gravel areas or driveways, those kind of things. Actually, Roundup also has a new product now. It actually has two different herbicides in it, and it's a quick kill for the things that are there, but then it also has a residual there for things that, to keep seeds from regrowing. So part of it is maybe the weed issue that you have. If you have perennial weeds and they're already coming up, then you're probably going to have to go with some kind of a Roundup type product, and then have one of these other products that helps as a pre-emergent to keep it, the seeds from growing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, do I need a license?
No, not in your own property like that. And actually, if you go to any of the garden centers, home supply centers, those kind of things, they'll have these kind of things. And usually it'll be listed for something like, and usually it gives probably at least 3 months, probably up to a year or two control, depending on what product you get. But just look at it, and it'll say for fence rows or for driveways or, you know, whatever. But it'll be very clear on the label, this is for something that you don't want anything to grow there at all.
Okay.
So, but you may want to think about some of those newer products too, that are kind of the combination things too as well. So, but no, you're allowed to ask about, you know, can I kill, you know,
about killing everything. I didn't know, you know.
No. You're fine, and I hope that helps for you.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
I'm sure that there will be places around some people's homes where they are going to have areas that they don't want stuff growing. Gravel driveways can be a problem because the weeds are going to want to come up, and there may be pathways that people have, or maybe they have brick patios, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And certainly you can spot treat. There are products that are just made for that. How good are, there are various kinds of landscaping cloth and things like that that are made to put down on the soil and then put stuff on top of that, gravel or mulch or whatever.
Right,
and the idea is that stuff is not supposed to be able to come through.
I like, course, how you qualify that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the plants are weeds are tough and resourceful. And it may say that stuff won't grow up through it, but, you know, the real experience may be something different. How good are things like that? And are they really any better than just putting down a heavy black plastic?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're actually going to put them near plants and stuff, we'd want to go with more of the fabric type products where it would hopefully let air and water through, those kind of things. It's going to be much healthier for the plant if we have that. If you have it on a pathway, you certainly could use black plastic, where if there isn't a concern about anything, you know, the water penetrating or whatever, as long as it's well-drained, all those good things, and you know you're not going to be growing anything there, then plastic is probably just fine. Probably the biggest thing that I've noticed with those fabrics or plastics, either one, is that when you start putting organic mulch on top, like wood chips or anything like that, that stuff starts to break down, and then the weeds just grow in on top. top of it. And so basically you have a weed that's actually now has its roots into the fabric. And so the weeds aren't, you can tell I've been through this. And then you try to pull the weed out and it's like taking the whole fabric. So I think that kind of stuff probably works better in a situation like this gentleman was talking about, where it's under like rocks or something like that. And rocks wouldn't be a thing we'd necessarily want around plants, but obviously, you know, in pathways or driveways or something where rocks make sense, then maybe the plastic might certainly help. But you will find things, seeds will still come in. I'm always amazed at the things that will grow in driveways or, you know, you see it all over the place. You will see those kind of things. And you may want to think about even some of the pre-emergent type herbicides in those cases. And this would be a good time to do that because we'd want to do it before the weeds emerge. And this is just to keep things from receding into those areas because seeds will blow in and they'll do their thing. And there are certainly some pre-emergent type herbicides. There's actually one now that's been around for a number of years and it has pretty good, it looks like it's actually pretty good. It looks like it's better probably their second or third year. It's made out of corn gluten. And so people are really interested in that particular product and the fact that it's just a byproduct from some of the corn processing kinds of things, and it's natural and actually provides a certain amount of fertilizer. But that might be, you know, people don't want to necessarily go the traditional, more commercial type herbicides. Maybe they want to go with something like that particular product. So there's some things out there that I think people can look to, but I think you're going to have to use some kind of pre-emergent herbicide, even in those cases, if you have black plastic, because as you say, they still do it.
Yeah. Okay. Midway through here with Sandy Mason. Plant questions, welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Urbana, next, line one.
Yes. We have a climbing rose bush here, and it didn't do so well last year. And should I cut it back now, and should I cut it back and prune it all the way, or what do you suggest?
Do you know what time of year it normally blooms? Is it an early bloomer or a late bloomer?
Yeah, sort of in June, and then throughout the summer it blooms.
Okay. Well, and I should tell you that a lot of roses didn't do well last year. A lot of roses didn't do well because they really got hit hard by that late freeze that we had in April. So you're in the same boat with the rest of us, and that a lot of the roses did not bloom well. So that's probably part of it. And certainly, if it's one that's blooming throughout the season, it's blooming on the new wood or the wood that's produced this year. And on those, that's fine. You can certainly go ahead and prune those. Usually we do it around the 1st of April or so when you see the buds start to swell and you know what's still alive, what's not still alive.
Right.
So you certainly could do that.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I should wait and do it the end of this month. So.
Yeah, I would probably wait just so you can see which buds are still alive and all that stuff, and then you can make some determinations from there.
Yeah. We also have some bushes around the house, and then is this the time to prune them? I don't know what kind they are, but they are sort of, you know.
Do they flower?
They don't. Uh-uh.
Are they green all the time?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh.
So like evergreen of some kind or something?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you certainly can prune those. They're probably yews or junipers or something.
Actually, they're yews.
Okay.
Right.
And you certainly can go ahead and prune those now. That's just fine. And and just trying to take them down so they look a little bit more natural maybe sometimes rather than doing the hedging thing.
Okay.
But no, you certainly could do that now.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Good luck.
Right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Other questions, welcome. Again, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Another person here in Urbana. This is line number two. Hello.
Hi. My wife got some sort of natural product called Wow Plus. It's supposed to be a pre-emergent.
Sure.
And also a fertilizer, an 811 fertilizer. I think it's made out of some kind of grain.
Mm-hmm. It's probably actually the corn gluten product that I was mentioning. I think that's what's in Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
that's fine. Not a problem. But that's actually, it's a perfect tie-in.
Is this a good time to apply it?
Yes. Generally, you'd want to go ahead and do it really early before things really start to germinate.
Yeah.
So generally, this is a good time to do that. You could probably wait a week or so, but I wouldn't wait too much later than that.
Okay. Could you put it right on top of the snow?
I suppose you could. I think I'd probably feel more comfortable, and then you'd know where it ended up, and it didn't get tracked around or anything. But there's no reason why you couldn't go ahead and put it on top of the snow. But I think I'd probably wait till the snow's gone.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. We have talked before about pruning and plant hygiene. And
I've never heard it called that.
I just thought it'd be good to mention that one more time. Well, the thing that people need to at least consider is that if you have a plant that's got some disease problem, and you're doing some pruning on that, you don't want some of your disease-causing agent to get on your shears and then to take that. You certainly don't want to take it to another plant and end up spreading disease that way.
Right.
Now, I think that you've said maybe you don't need to worry about that quite so much if you're just pruning one plant. Although I'm still thinking, well, you know, is there a chance you still can make it a problem? You might make a problem worse.
Absolutely. I mean, if you really suspect that, and even with the lady that was talking about raspberries having some issues there, that would definitely be a time where it would be good to think about sterilizing the tool. And in that case, I'd sterilize it in between each cut. So if you truly think that, you know, boy, it's really kind of dying back an awful lot, I'm kind of suspect with this particular plant, those trees, shrubs, whatever they are, I would sterilize in between each cut. Okay. And you can do it with, you know, just get a spray bottle or a dip thing or something. I don't know, just dip the pruners in alcohol or a little spray bottle with alcohol works out fine. And then that way you're not transferring it from each, because you could literally on some, especially some of the bacterial diseases, you could really make the whole thing worse. You spread the fire blight or whatever it is all over the plant and you haven't gained anything. So that's important. Now, if you don't think there's any big problem, I would still sterilize them in between each plant. So even though you're not necessarily doing it all each time on that particular plant, at least from plant to plant, you're not spreading anything around.
Okay. And you're suggesting that people use rubbing alcohol?
Yeah. Now, see, I like alcohol in the sense that I've tried bleach before, but I ended up with it all over me. And so I had these polka dots all over my pants and my shirt and everything else. So I decided for me that wasn't a good thing. I'm just too messy of a gardener, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I like the alcohol thing because it doesn't leave spots all over it. But it will rust your tools if you don't oil them afterwards or clean them off well afterwards. So realize that that is an issue for them. But
okay.
But it's
either one of those things will work, but each way has its little
drawbacks. Yeah, bleach works fine.
Yeah.
If you're a much, much tidier gardener than I am, bleach would probably work out just fine.
I'm
or you wear
sure.
really old clothes. It doesn't
well,
matter.
I think that's what you have
that's
to do.
That's the key.
Wear something that you don't care if it gets bleach on it, because I'm not sure anyone can really be that.
Yeah.
Tidy. And you won't notice it until later.
Yeah, see, that was the funny part. It wasn't until later I realized I poke it up.
Later on, you're looking and say, oh my gosh, look at that.
Yeah.
All right. Paris, next caller, line number 4. Hello.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi.
Hey, you was talking about disinfectant. One of the garden programs I went to recently, there was a tree guy down there, and they were using Lysol, spray Lysol in the can.
Sure.
I never heard that. I'd always used alcohol for years, and I thought, well, that'd be handy, too, you know, just to have it in the truck with you.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because Lysol does work, too.
Yeah. Question I had, and I kind of come in late on the show, so maybe you can... I'm sorry if it's a repeat question. You was talking about the corn gluten for, like, treating crabgrass.
Uh-huh.
Where do you find that at?
I'm not sure. I would just check with some of that. You're probably going to have to go to a more of a garden center type place as opposed to maybe some of the home supply places. But I'd check around. It's starting to be a little bit more popular from, I mean, you can certainly order it. I know Gardens Alive carries it, but I'd certainly check locally and see if you can get it. But I would, it's getting to be more and more popular that I would think that some of the garden centers themselves would carry it.
I've been looking for it,
yeah.
And I've been looking in A.M. Leonard and a couple of the other catalogs, and they wasn't carrying it, and I was wanting to try it out this year because I'd heard a lot of positive information about it,
right?
But I just couldn't find it.
Well, I know Gardens Alive carries it because they're the ones that make that Wow Plus that he was talking about, that gentleman before was talking about. But so that's something you know, if you can go online or just get a catalog from Gardens Alive, you can get it through them, I know. So.
Okay. All right.
Uh-huh. Good
All
luck.
Right, thank you. Line number 1 is next here in Champaign. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a question about autumn clematis.
Mm-hmm.
I have never pruned mine back, and it's looking very full.
Is it taking over your garage?
No. In fact, you know, I wish it would in the summer or in the fall. Right now, it's obviously it's looking very dead, but it's not. But it's I just don't want it to keep this color. Will the green come back? I can't remember what I did last year, but it's just literally hanging off the fence.
Yeah, right. If I were you, I would just hack it back to you know, 8-10 inches. I mean, you can really do heavy pruning on those guys.
Oh, wonderful.
And they'll look so much better, and I guarantee you, you're not going to kill it.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
So,
all right.
So
great.
Go for it.
I'll do it this afternoon. Thanks,
sure.
Andy.
Sure.
All right. Thank you. And again, other questions, welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-WILL. Here I'm looking, I'm starting to look at information here on the web about corn gluten, and I think one of the things here that's maybe... Or maybe I'm looking at something else. I was thinking that they were saying something about there was an ideal temperature range for putting it on. But I'm thinking, no, this is something. This is maybe something.
Well, and
else.
It could very well be. I mean, soil temperature wise, it could very well be. I think with any of those products, you know, you got to read the labels. You know, and make sure. I think the corn gluten. Actually, Iowa State was the one that really kind of got into the whole corn gluten thing. I do know that you're not supposed to use, it's not the same product if you're using any of the livestock feed. You know, sometimes there's that you can buy corn gluten as an addition to livestock feed, and it's not the same thing. There's a different formulation, so don't go that route. Go ahead and get the product that's meant to be used as a pre-emergent. And pretty good results on it. What I have seen for the most part is the first year, you know, it's not quite as good, but then there seems to be somewhat of a residual effect in the sense that the second, third year, you get much better control. Okay. So it seems to be one of those things that takes a little bit of time to really get it going.
All right. Let's talk with somebody else, and we'll go to Champaign and line number two. Hello. Is there a caller there in Champaign, line two?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Yes.
I have a question about the fungicide you recommended for the vinca. Could you repeat the name of it? I missed that.
The one for the vinca?
Huh?
Was it
with the root rot on the vinca vines?
Yeah, it's they're actually initials. PCNB. So P as in Paul, C as in Carolyn, N as in Nancy, B as in boy.
Okay, and when it should be applied?
Generally when they're first starting to come out, like about now, when they're really starting to get new growth because you're trying to protect the new growth. And so you it's a common problem, unfortunately, in older beds of vinca.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what we have. And how do you apply it later then also, or just one time?
I would just read the directions. I think there's a second application with it as well, depending on what product you get.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Is there a specific brand? Or?
I think High Yield is one of the brands that I know carries that particular one, but there's other ones as well.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Okay.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Line one, this is Champaign. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I have a hydrangea bush. It's not very big, kind of like medium size, up next to my house. It has not bloomed the last 2 years, and prior to that it was temperamental in its blooming. The leaves look beautiful. Nice foliage, but I can't get blooms on it.
Yeah. Do you know what color this is, or...?
I think the last time I saw it.
Years ago.
Yeah. I think it was kind of a pink color.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was there when I moved into the house. So I don't know what the original color was.
Okay. The reason I ask is most of those pink and blue ones, because they also come in white, which is a different species, but the pink and blue ones tend to be the ones that bloom on old wood, as in wood from the year before.
Uh-huh.
So if it gets pruned off, as in if you prune it, you know, late in the year, or if you prune it really early in the year, you'll get leaves and nothing else. If it gets winter killed, you won't get any flowers. You'll just get leaves.
Because I haven't even touched it, because I was afraid if I pruned it, something would happen. So I haven't touched it in a good while.
Yeah, and actually mine, there is a newer variety called Endless Summer now that's supposed to bloom on old and new wood both, but my Endless Summer didn't even bloom last year. So it's like an endless wait, I've decided. Instead of Endless Summer, it's Endless Wait. So there probably isn't much of anything you can do other than you could try to protect it over the winter time and then just kind of hope for the best, because it has to have those old stems on there to get them to bloom. You might also think about fertilizing them if you want to go ahead and do that. And I would just use, you know, if pink is fine with you, then you can just use like a 10-10-10 or something like that and try to fertilize it and try to promote some new growth. But if there's no old stems on there, then you're not going to get any flowers this year either. So.
Okay, well, so I just don't touch it. I keep thinking that it will do something, but it hasn't bloomed for at least 2 years.
Yeah, we'll hope it's a better year this year when it comes to hydrangeas, but they're a little finicky, those guys, the pink and blue ones.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you. I think we have somebody who would like to make a follow-up maybe on or an additional question on our line two, a cell phone caller. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes.
I called about killing everything.
Yep.
Okay.
I do have trees.
Oh, okay.
It won't hurt my trees if I use that stuff, will it?
I would really like, well, most of that stuff is all the pre-emergent, so it doesn't do anything to existing plants.
They're pretty big trees.
Right. So it shouldn't be an issue. I would just read the label and make sure there may be a distance away. But I think on most of those things, it affects the seeds that come up. So it's not going to kill off any existing weeds. So anything like, you know, if you have bindweed or any of the perennial type weeds, it's not going to touch that stuff, the pre-emergence one. Won't. But they shouldn't hurt your tree. It shouldn't hurt your trees either.
So I would like need Roundup to kill the stuff that's already coming up.
Right. And as I said, Roundup does have a new product that came out in the last couple of years that actually has two different herbicides in it, one for quick kill and one for longer term control. So
okay,
that might
great.
Work out well for you because then you only have to do one application.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Right,
thanks. And
bye.
I guess it is worth reminding people that if you're going to use something like Roundup, you do have to be careful. It's one of the good things about it is that it doesn't hang around in the environment, so that's good. But it's also non-specific. It'll kill anything.
Sure.
If you get enough of it on a plant, it's going to kill it.
Right.
So
right.
If you have plants that you want to get rid of, that's next to stuff that you want to keep, you've got to be really careful that you don't get Roundup
or anything
like that, those kind of things on the plants that you want, or else you're gonna have a problem.
Yeah, and read the label. I know the print is so tiny, and you know we're always in a big hurry. All you want to know is how much do I put in the container? But just read the label, and it'll give you all that information. It's just we have a tendency not to do that.
And that's probably also a good idea to be careful. Don't get it on yourself if you can possibly help it. And
again, any of that stuff, just take proper precautions.
Yeah. Right. About 5-6 minutes left with Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. Once a month, she's here. It's always a Tuesday, generally always a Tuesday, and we talk about lawn and garden care. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. A couple of events maybe you want to mention while we have some time?
Sure. Actually, a couple events. This is a great time to be thinking about garden days, and a lot of folks have garden days. And the Master Gardeners over in the Sangamon-Menard Springfield area are doing their garden day, actually would be this Saturday, March 15th from 8 to 12. And actually, really some really good programs on spring lawn care, composting, trees and shrubs, a little on apple grafting, all kinds of really good things for people to really get excited about spring and what to do. And all they need to do is contact the Sangamon-Menard Extension office. You can get that on the web as well, or you can give them a call at 217-782-4617. So Sangamon-Menard Extension, they're doing their garden day on March 15th, and then Decatur's doing theirs on March 29th. So Decatur, Macon County, you can contact them, and they're doing butterfly gardening, native plants, and all kinds of great stuff, even a rain barrel workshop. You can learn how to make a rain barrel. That's pretty cool. So check out the Macon County Master Gardeners on March 29th, and their number is 217-877-6042, or just go to the web, look for the U of I Extension, and you can find all the county offices there. So a couple of different events coming up.
Okay, that's great. Next, we'll talk with someone in Champaign. Line one. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about, is it too early to start cleaning up, like cutting back the old mums and asters and...
I'd go for it. I'd go for it. I wouldn't be covering things. I mean, it wouldn't be uncovering a lot of things. We could still get a pretty good cold snap. But you certainly could cut things down. Sometimes what I've done, especially on mums or things I'm a little bit concerned about, I go ahead and cut them off, but then just sort of lay that debris kind of just back on top of the plant if it seems like it's coming back up. So it's a kind of a lightweight way to cover them up, and then it's real easy to take it off later.
Uh-huh.
So if you feel like things are kind of coming up a little bit too fast or whatever, you can certainly do that. But there's no reason why you couldn't go ahead and cut things down.
And I don't know if it's pronounced baptisia.
Uh-huh, sure.
When should that be cut back?
You can certainly do that now. It's just usually one big stem. Realize that stuff, and maybe you know this already, but baptisia is really slow to emerge in the spring. So you'll think it's dead. It just doesn't come up quite as fast as the other things. So it's still there.
Anything in particular I really shouldn't be cutting off now?
I wouldn't, you know, things like roses we talked about, some of the woodier, you know, roses I probably wait till the 1st of April. Most of the other things, or if it's something that, if it's a woody plant and it blooms early, I wouldn't cut those back because then you're just going to cut off the flower stems. But pretty much everything else you can go ahead and cut back.
What about, I can't think of the name of it. Never mind.
Oh, that's right. But even things like ornamental grasses and some of those, you could probably wait a couple weeks even for a lot of the ornamental grasses, but those can really should be cut down before they go ahead and emerge.
Oh, I'm thinking of what we used to call live forever.
Oh, sedums and stuff?
Yeah,
they're already popping out of the ground. I know it's my little plants are already coming out of the ground, but no, you can go ahead and cut those back. Sure.
Okay. All right.
Sure.
Well, I may get out there and start
doing
all that.
See? Maybe the weather will cooperate.
Well, I cut off some plants last year that I shouldn't have, and
Oh, really? Oh. Hmm.
Not hydrangeas, but
some woody plants.
Yeah. And then we got that cold spell.
Yeah, they was tough on a lot of plants last year.
Right.
They were just way too far out, ready to go, and then we got that cold snap.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of things that just really got hit hard. Roses, especially.
They did. So, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
And we have time here for one or two, if somebody wants to call real quick. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. At what point would it be okay to start thinking about planting new perennials?
Usually we say April is a good time to do that. And part of the problem is that sometimes they've been forced, you know, if a grower's had them in the greenhouse, they've forced them and they're a lot farther along than they normally would be, say, in April. Those I'm always a little bit concerned about. So those either might want to put them in a protected area for a little while if they have been forced and they're just really out, you know, really emerging, maybe even flowering. If they seem like they're a little bit farther along because they're really tender at that point. So some of those I'd be a little bit concerned about. But if the plant is just coming up and you purchase it, then I'd say go for it and go ahead and plant it. And usually around the 1st of April, we think about that. As far as, you know, even dividing perennials is a good time to do that. And pretty much anything can be divided for the most part. I shouldn't say anything. A lot of things can be divided. Peonies, we usually wait till September. But mostly other perennials and stuff could easily be done in April.
Okay, because I'm sure that there are places where they sell plants, garden centers, that they're trying to get people jazzed. And they're doing things to try to get people. They're saying it's time to come back to the store again. And I'm sure that they will start to be having various kinds of sales and specials and things. And I'm sure that people be wondering, well, you know, should I at least wait until that average day of last frosts, which is probably around the 23rd, 25th of 20-somethingth of April. So at least we've got more than a month. Yeah. Or would you say, some of those plants, they're hardy. They live through the winter. Why can't we just go ahead and plant them?
Yeah, and there's a lot of, and that is probably the other thing, is just ask wherever you're purchasing them, ask them, is this something that will
is
take
this ready
the cold?
To go?
You know,
yeah.
Things like the coral bells, the hookeras, those are tough plants. They take a lot of cold weather, pansies. You know, there's a lot of things that will take the cold just fine. If it's some tender leafed thing that's been forced, like bleeding hearts, a lot of times I'll see those really early, but they're so tender. We get a little wind, a little cold, and it just rips them apart. So, you know, some of those, even though they take cold, if they're forced like that, they don't take cold very well. They don't take the wind very well. So I think I would ask whoever it is and just find out wherever you purchase them and ask them, do you think this is fine to go ahead? But a lot of the perennials will certainly take cold just fine.
Okay. One more caller at least here. Champagne, line one. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question because we had a gravel driveway a long time. Last fall we had a cement laid. And they backfilled around the edges with black dirt.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a lot of weeds out there, and I don't want them to be sprouting after this. What's the approach I should take to make sure when I seed with grass, the grass is going to beat the weeds out?
Okay, so these are areas you're going to go ahead and grass.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, you really can't use an herbicide and, you know, try to seed at the same time. It really doesn't work very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would probably go ahead and get a really good start, make sure that you plant it at the proper rate and you get good seed in there. And then you usually kind of have to go from there to see what's going to happen. you know, the timing-wise, we're a little funny time here. You know, if you wanted to, you could wait and see what emerges because, you know, there'll be all these little weed seedlings pop up. But a lot of those, depending on what they are, like if there was lamb's quarter and some of those, do not tolerate mowing at all. So sometimes, you know, velvet leaf and all those things, they don't tolerate mowing, so they're going to die off anyway. So, you know, you may or may not want to be concerned about that, or you could just wait to see what pops up and then kill it off and then reseed, you know, with the good grass. That makes sense.
How late can you do that? Can you seed for grass?
I wouldn't wait much later than, say, the end of April or so. Usually the month of April is pretty good when it comes to seeding things. So you could, you know, do that, and that way hopefully get rid of a lot of the weeds that way.
Well, maybe we'll wait for them to come up and see.
See what happens.
suggested.
Yeah, I guarantee you, you'll have all kinds of things popping up. It's amazing.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
We are just about at the point we have to finish up. And any last thing you might like to mention?
You can plant stuff there. You know, vegetables. You know, more and more people are interested in growing their own vegetables and stuff. There's no reason why you can plant. You know, we're getting to the point you can plant potatoes. You can certainly could plant, you know, a lot of the leafy things, lettuce and spinach and all those things. And they're so easy to grow. And they come up, they do their thing well before the insects come out. And so, you know, a lot of that stuff could certainly be planted. And, you know, it's kind of fun. A lot of the lettuce now is so pretty. I mean, you could easily put it in your flower garden and plant a few pansies around it. And, you know, you could graze your garden. Maybe not when the neighbors are out there.
Okay. And you get some edible flowers?
Yeah. See? There's all kinds of things.
Very exciting. All right. Well, for now, we'll close things off with the promise that Sandy will be back again next month, and we'll do it again. In the meantime, you can look for her occasionally and other people who are from the university and work in some of the area garden centers on a program that we have on WILL-TV called Illinois Gardener, Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, and it's a live show. And you can call in with questions, as you can on this show. Diane Nolan is the host, so if you're a big gardener, you should be watching that show. So check that out, and Sandy will be back next time around. And also in the meantime, of course, no matter where you live, there's some extension person who's there for you, and you can look them up in the phone book and you can get answers to these kinds of questions.
Very good.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sandy Mason, she's horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. Programming here on AM 580, made possible in part by a grant from the Thrifty Nichols American Classifieds, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at AmericanClassifieds.com. Later on today on the Afternoon Magazine, we'll be talking about where the Midwest is headed in the 21st century and how global market forces affect our cities and small towns. On the Afternoon Magazine, Celeste Quinn talks with Richard Longworth, the author of the book Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalization. That's in the 1 o'clock hour of the Afternoon Magazine. The show begins at noon. Celeste Quinn is the host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of Focus 580. First, though, we'll have an update for you on the markets and news, so please stay tuned.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Audio from the 2008 All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting is now available on our website. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the link in the right navigation panel. The 2008 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting was made possible by support from Cargill, the Andersons, and the Archer Daniels Midland Company. At the Chicago Board of Trade in the wheat pit, we see a rally. The 60-day limit in May and July on news at Argentina closed its grains export registries for 2 days, as well as USDA's cutting its 2007-08 U.S. wheat ending stocks estimate more than expected. That has also provided some support in the corn pit as well. Meanwhile, soybeans have its own story to tell on USDA and